Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Armchair Survivalist. It is September the 1st, 2019, and my name is Kurt Wilson. I'm the Armchair Survivalist, and welcome to the show. I am in the process of rebuilding my website at armchairsurvivalist.com, and I'm getting this podcast, if you want to call it that, placed on as many venues as possible. So that's what I've been working on for the past month. If you go to armchairsurvivalist.com, you can scroll down there and you can see how to listen to me. The easiest way is just click on chat room, go in there and listen. But there's going to be other places. I know a lot of you use these so-called smartphones and you have this thing called apps. So you can get all kinds of different apps to listen all kinds of different ways at your own leisure. So I'm going to have as many of those listed as possible. If you want to listen to the archives, download it and then listen to it later. You on the left-hand side of the page, any of the pages at armchairsurvivalist.com, you'll see the little nipper dog listening to the RCA Victor gramophone. You click on that, and there will be links there to all the shows for the current year. Let me get you up to speed on what's going on with Survival Enterprises. We're doing fine in Hayden, Idaho. Bunch of closeout stuff. We're almost finished with the water filtration systems. We're no longer going to be carrying them. We have some of the larger ones left. Go to SE1 at Samuel Edwards, the numeral 1.us, SE1.us, or survivalenterprises.com. And you click on the left-hand side where it says water filters, and then you'll see Aquacera and Sawyer. Aquacera is the standalone gravity-fed filters. You've known them by all kinds of different names, from British Birkfeld to Berkey, and Aquacera. So this is Aquacera is what we have been carrying, and we're no longer going to be carrying any of these. Just to let you know, we did get a box of the filters in, of the 7-inch filters. These are the Ceramedics filters that take out everything, man. I mean, everything including lead and fuel additives and fluoride. So we have a box of those left. We just got them in. They're $40 a piece, and that includes shipping. So you can get a hold of us. And there's different ways. You'll see every page at survivalenterprises.com. Down at the bottom, it says question. Email us, and there's an email you can click on that. Or you can call us 800-753-1981, and then we'll take care of it from there. I just want to let you know about that. We have solar panels. Now, if you go to the website, se1.us, on the left-hand side, you'll see the links, home, site map, how to buy from us, blah, 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 blah. And then you'll see oddball stuff and on sale. Well, oddball stuff and on sale are pretty much the same thing. So if you clicked on oddball stuff, you would see the Sierra Wave 10-watt solar power collectors. These are soft solar panels that fold up like a briefcase, carry around with you. We have those, and when we first started selling, we buy closeouts sometimes. And I bought like, I don't know, it's like 1,700 of these. We're down to about 8, and they're phenomenal. They were selling from the original company about $130, and I've got them down now to $25 a piece just to get rid of them. And those of you who have credit cards or any card with an RFID in it, a radio frequency identification device. This is something that you go to McDonald's or any of these fast food places and it says, tap your card here to pay. Well, that they can do that because the card has an RFID in it. That's neat. But see, everything that's been happening, all technology is a double-edged sword. So what happens is you have different things with RFID in them. By the way, if you have a passport card, it has an RFID in it. In fact, if you have a passport, it has an RFID in it. Well, what we have are what's called RFID blocking sleeves. These are double Mylar little sleeves that a credit card slips right into. And it's $7 for 5 sleeves. And that's on, oddball stuff? Yeah, oddball stuff. And then if you click on the on sale link, it'll show the solar panel again. It'll also, for those of you who think that you can handle hot peppers, I have little tiny cans that it's grow your own. You pop the top off, follow the instructions. There's a growth medium in there, and then there's like 5 to 10 seeds. Ghost chili, scorpion, maruga scorpion. We have those, and we're blowing those off. I'm sorry. I've been told to not say blowing off. I've been told to say close out. Okay, so we're closing out those. We're also closing out heirloom seeds in number 10 cans. This is the end of it. You're never going to see these again. It was done. It was very expensive to do. Companies aren't even doing them anymore, and it's hard to find heirloom seeds. You know what heirloom seeds are. These are the seeds you can plant, and when you harvest them, you can save the seeds, and you can plant them and grow the exact plant again. So we have those, and it's in number 10 cans. There's they're what you would call, what do they call them? They call it, it's salsa seeds. And what that means is, I mean, you can't plant a salsa. It's onions, peppers, tomatoes, cilantro. It's all of these things that is used in making salsa or as seasoning. So that's what these plants are. And they're all in a number 10 can, and each one is sealed separately in its own Mylar bag. I don't mean each seed, I mean each type. Like we have white sweet Spanish onions, Tokyo long white onions, early jalapenos, Hungarian yellow wax peppers, Yolo peppers, Cal Wonder TMR, beefsteak tomatoes, Rutgers tomatoes, tomatilla, Grande Rio Verde, cilantro, the slow bolt, slicing tomatoes, Roma, and then we have for two of the hot peppers, and these are very special, Anaheim chili and Butte Jolokai. That is like the number two hottest pepper on earth, and that's in that can. So those are closing out. These you'll never see these again. When they're gone, they're gone. Oh, we just got in. They're not even on the website. Sorry about that. I have not had time. I'm spending so much time doing the show and getting things together. See, this ain't like it used to be, where I just contact Todd, my engineer, and he gives me a countdown, 3, 2, and I'm on. And I just talk for 2 hours. It's not like that. Now, I continue doing the research. Then I have to record it. Then I have to edit it. Then I have to edit it again. And then I have to upload it. It's a lot of work. Way more than it used to be. So I don't have as much time to stay up with the website, with the business website, that I need. What I'm getting at is we got the new goat milk soap in. That's to say that 4 times fast. So goat milk soap. The company's out of Montana. It's a family company. They have 92 Nubian goats, and they milk them twice a day. And everything is handmade. And this soap is astounding. And there's like, I don't know, 15 different variants. And then they made some body lotions with it also. So it's here in the store in Hayden, Idaho. You can come in and look at it, get a bar or two and try it out, and see what it does. You know, it's for me, it works great. I like it. We also just got a fresh batch of the Colorado and the Kentucky CBD in. Most of you know, in fact, any of you that listen to me, we have no middlemen with almost all of our products, especially our CBD. This is my formula. I contacted the farmers. I told them how I wanted them to manufacture it, and they do. And I get fresh batches in every 2 weeks, and we just got fresh batches in of the Colorado and the Kentucky CBD. Go to cbdsupply.us, and you can poke around there and see what it is. Now, by the way, I have a dozen people a day come into the store, and they all say the same thing. I don't know anything about CBD, but everybody's selling it. It's on every coffee hut, every corner store, every health food store, and there's 1,000 different names on this stuff. I don't know what to choose. If you go to cbdsupply.us, at the top of the page are the links, and it'll tell you, oh, I have links to history. CBD products are seeds of life, is what they're called. It explains the endocannabinoid system. There's a warning on certain CBD products. There's a medical studies on CBD, and I have a link to over, in fact, let's check it. I know it's over 2,500. It's 2,546 medical studies right now using CBD. And then if you read this article, CBD, the History, the Reality, and Barnum and Bailey, and this is an article I wrote for the newspaper. If you read that, just that article, you'll know more than 95% of the people in the United States. It's that simple. So just read the article, and you'll be fine. So, all right, let's get on with the show. First category is economy. And I saw this, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, this isn't right. An article came out a week or so ago, and it was on Drudge. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Now, Drudge, those of you who know Drudge, drudgereport.com, Drudge is a aggregator. He's not a reporter. He aggregates news. He gets news from all over the world and posts it on his website. And he doesn't check a lot of it. So Drudge posted an article from a liberal website called MarketWatch, which I go to also. In it, it said, we lost 500,000 jobs in 2018. You get that? So instantly, of course, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, all the communist news stations, they picked that up. And they went all, see how bad Trump is? See, he's really screwing up the economy. Lost 500,000 jobs. That's fraud. 100% fake news. In reality, now you're always going to have losing jobs. There's always people that say, I've had it and quit. And there's always companies that go out of business. Those are added in. But last year, the economy created 2.2 million jobs. I can tell you this, up here in Coeur d'Alene and Hayden, Idaho, Northern Idaho, there are more jobs available than there are people who are willing to work. That's the key word, willing. Because the way that society is going, people are not willing to work anymore. They're quite willing to get welfare and food stamps and all kinds of other government handouts, but they're not willing to work. And this is, you know, I talk to people in Texas, I talk to people in Louisiana, I talk to people in Florida, I talk to people in Maryland. They all say the same thing. We have people coming in, applying for work, wearing sweatpants, having rings hanging out of their nose. And they're obviously not going to get hired, and they obviously know this. But, you know, you sign their paper that says they tried, or they came in and tried to apply, or whatever. That's a whole different rant. But regardless, this is the fake news thing, where you're going to see that we lost 500,000 jobs. No, 2.2 million were gained. But, and here's the big one, there are aspects of this economy that are going downhill. And these aspects were set up to do this. Do you remember the first, when they had the recession, and they blamed it on easy money for housing? So easy money for housing, what did that mean? That meant that they were loaning money to people who had no ability in any way, shape, or form to repay the loan. So these, a guy who's working at McDonald's is making $8 an hour, and he says, I like that $250,000 house that's going to only cost me $700 a month. So they give it to him. And then after 6 months, him and his wife can't make it, and they just walk away. Well, the same exact thing is happening now. And I saw this start about 2012. See, this area up here in North Idaho used to be all farming. And about 12 or 13, I start seeing these farming fields disappear and signs pop up for sale. 200 acres, 100 acres, 1,000 acres. And then I start seeing houses being built. And I don't see anybody moving into these houses, but they're being built. 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17. And then all of a sudden, people start coming in, and these houses started to get filled up. And then I start noticing the advertisements in the papers and the magazines up here. Zero down. We finance anyone. Just bring in a proof of income. Mortgage defaults rise, first time since financial crisis. The defaults on mortgages is up about 3% from normal. So what? And they get that from about a quarter million people, 243,000 borrowers defaulted on the first lien this year. So that's another thing to watch out for. Of course, there's also a lot of shipping is going down. A lot of manufacturing is going down. A lot of call for products from China is going down. And then you have this so-called trade war, which should have been handled 20, 30 years ago. The economy is not doing what it needs to do to keep us all safe. So, boys and girls, you better be right on top of it, and you better be paying attention. And I hope you're going to love this. We're driving downtown Coeur d'Alene yesterday, and on one corner, there's this speedboat parked. It's an advertisement for the company. This speedboat parked. It's something that where four people can water ski behind it, and it says, special, $99,999. And I had to stop and look again. I said, does that say almost $100,000 for a boat? And Eric goes, yeah, that's $100,000. I said, holy crap. No wonder. And they're financing with no money down. You want to buy a boat cheap? Look on Craigslist up here, Spokane, Coeur d'Alene area. RVs, people go out and spend $110,000 and a year later they got to dump it. And they're asking $60,000. And they're not going to get that. So there are things occurring. Here's another thing. Now, this is under the economy because it's being used to rob. You know how they have something, this is Google, by the way, has something called deep fake, F-A-K-E. They're able to take somebody who is foolish enough to put their video on the internet, and they can take their face, put it on anybody else's face, and have you say anything they want you to say. And it'll sound just like you. Hackers are using this artificial intelligence. This is a program. They want to use the word AI, the designation AI for artificial intelligence. It's a program. It's a computer program. It's very intelligent, but it's impersonating voices perfectly. So a CEO calls up some guy, and this is an Israeli security company discovered this. This is a new type of attack where hackers are using this capability to impersonate senior company executives. So they would call up and say to their assistant, say, Fred, I forgot my password. You got it handy real quick? And the guy goes, well, that's John, so I'll just give him the password. Boom, hackers got it. This is really, really going to be big. They're able to impersonate not just the physicalness of somebody, but the voice and the sound. Speaking of big, this one is going to rock the world, and this is not, I'm not exaggerating. Remember a few years ago, everybody in the UK voted to leave the EU? Okay, that was called Brexit, British exiting. Well, what's been happening since then, as the elites in England have been stalling not allowing it to leave, and just causing all kinds of problems. So now they have a new prime minister. His name's Boris Johnson. He's interesting. He asked the Queen to temporarily suspend Parliament because they kept screwing around. And this is going to be a long story short. Queen said yes. So he temporarily suspended Parliament, which is going to prevent all of those yakkers from pushing through new legislation that would sabotage the idea of the exit, the Brexit. And so this sets up England to leave the EU. No ifs, ands, or buts. No special agreements. Nobody cares who's set up to do so by about October 31st. We'll see what happens. But the Queen approved it and said, yes, shut them down. So he did. All right, now we're going into health and food. There's a big push now, raising food indoors. I met a few people who are actually doing this. They get those moving containers, 40-footers, and then they start raising their food inside those containers. There's places on the internet where you can go get the plants. It's called vertical farming, and they have these walls where plants grow up and down them. It's really a neat thing. I can't talk much about it because I don't know much about it, but I'm going to have a link to it. And if you go to armchairsurvivalist.com on the left-hand side, you will see a link, show notes. Click on that, find the date that you want to read the show notes on, and go there. My son's been helping me do the show notes, and we're busy as hell here at Survival Enterprises, so they're not getting up in time. So we still don't have them up, but I will have the show notes up, and this is going to be one of the links to show you how you can grow your food indoors. And it's like hydroponics. It's something that's interesting, and I think it's going to be vital for the future. This is just me personally. There was a thing that was going on this week with the fires in Brazil, and they were talking about how Brazil, or the Amazon rainforest, is the lungs of the earth. And we get most of our oxygen are created from the trees and the plants in the Amazon. And this is a fraud that's been perpetrated for decades and decades and decades. Basically, the earth, during its creation, the atmosphere was filled with oxygen. And that was enough to last us millions and millions and millions of years. So when you hear people say that the oxygen is being created by the trees and the plants and the bushes and the grass and all of this, first off, these are the same idiots that are saying carbon is a bad thing. Carbon dioxide is evil and bad, and we should destroy it and capture it and not let it go out into the atmosphere. And these are the same idiots that don't know that all plant life must have carbon dioxide to live. They take in carbon dioxide and via photosynthesis turn it into their food, their sugars, and oxygen. And the largest supply of oxygen on Earth is deep sea plankton. 70 to 90% of the oxygen that is created on Earth comes out of the deep sea. Now, my niece, who has always been a smartass, when she was in high school, and this is in Modesto, California, where it was all, don't throw anything away, reuse everything, it's recycled, blah, blah, blah. The earth is being destroyed by us bad, bad humans. She was told to write an article, this is a term paper, on what she could do or what she thinks could be done to save the earth. So she came up with a supposition that we should hunt and kill all whales. And because, see, they eat plankton. And this was a big thing. This was like 17 pages. And it was very articulate, very well written, very scientific. And in the footnotes, everything was proven. Whales eat plankton. Plankton supplies the majority of oxygen, regenerated oxygen, on Earth. So we should kill whales. Well, her liberal professor, teacher, gave her an F. And my brother went there and ripped him a new one, and she ended up with an A-. But to just to let you know, but the truth is, the majority of oxygen that's replenishing the Earth comes from deep sea plankton. And I will have, and this is from National Geographic. Actually the link that I'm going to supply is one that National Geographic puts out for teachers to use. And I guarantee you none of them do. Because it explains right there where the majority of oxygen comes from. Yeah, I just thought I'd throw that in because that was just kind of cool. And when I looked at this article and I'm listening to this hogwash about how the lungs of the earth, first it was someplace in Russia was the lungs of the earth, and then Brazil and the Amazon, the lungs of the earth. These people are, the problem with stupid is that stupid people teach other people the same stupid ideas they have. So now we have generations of stupid. Let's see. Now we're going to go into Trump. There's not much in the category of Trump, except another Democrat bit the dust, Kristen Gillibrand, whatever, just another communist clone, said, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. See, they're not making money. People are looking at these communists, and that's all they are. That's all these Democrats are. They're communists. So you have all these communists. You got two dozen of them that want to be president. And each one's trying to out-commie each other. It's just people are getting fed up of it. Now, unfortunately, we have a good percentage of the population that believes in socialism. These are the ones that sit on their butt, live in their mommy's basement, don't have real jobs, are tattooed over the majority part of their body because, well, they don't actually care. They don't believe in God. They hate. In fact, that's fine. You can believe and not believe in anything you want, but these actively hate God. They actually hate people who are sane. They actually hate anybody over a certain age. They actually hate, pick a color. They hate black, white, brown, green, blue. They hate different. These are wackos. But they're the ones that are going to vote Democrat because that's what they are. Now we're going into government threat. Now I have the show kind of backwards because the category liberal psychosis is so large today that it's going to have to go pretty much last. But we have, under government threat, it is getting worse and worse. And the sad thing is that people, well, I liken it to this. A government agent walks up to somebody and says, hi, I'm with the government. We're here to slit your throat. Hand me your knife. And a person hands them the knife and a government agent slits their throat and the person dies. Well, that's pretty much what's happening in the United States. The people they're acquiescing to authority, which is then destroying them. Doorbell cameras, you know what those are, right? They go on your door, and there's a camera. And this camera is hooked to your cell phone, your smartphone, which is hooked to your router, which is on the internet. So in other words, any place in the world, if somebody walks up to your door, then you have one of these doorbells. Ring is the first one to come out. R-I-N-G, very big. They came out with this doorbell thing, I don't know how many years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, but it's all over the place. Costco even sells them. The problem is, now there's more than just Ring. Here's the problem. So this doorbell is hooked to your router in your house, and then your cell phone accesses that from anywhere in the world. And so does all law enforcement. This is not an exaggeration. There was something that popped up on the news about 6 months ago in Spokane, Washington, where the law enforcement was asking permission for people who had these kind of doorbells. Can we patch into your feed so that we can help solve crimes? If somebody comes up and if there's a wreck on the street or if there's a robbery or murder or something like that. So we can at any time look at your feed and see what's going on. And I'm thinking to myself, nobody could be that stupid as to say sure. Because those doorbells pick up sound and video. And if you're on the other side of the door, it can pick up sound. Well, sure enough, hundreds of people said, that's a great idea. So now you can see when there's articles from Spokane and they talk about, there was an accident in front of 1221 Oak Creek Way. And the police were able to, they have the film of it because they used a doorbell that the homeowner had aiming that direction. And I'm thinking, wow, that's really bad. Can it get worse? Yes. And then I find out the doorbell company, Ring, is partnering with police forces all over the United States, granting them access to your cameras. So Ring is granting the law enforcement in the United States access to the feed off of your camera, off of your doorbell, which means they now have access to your router. You get that? This is automatic. You have no say about it. And as a matter of fact, one of my friends has a Ring doorbell, and she called up Ring and said, are you allowing law enforcement to have access? Oh, no. We are very, very staunch on the security of our customers. We would never do that. Well, they lied, and they will lie. So if you call them, say, are you letting cops view my feed? They'll lie and say no. There's an article, San Francisco Gate, where they talk about this. They're actually allowing law enforcement to have access to all your feeds. So if you have one of them Ring doorbells, well, you just handed over all your personal information because you think that they're going to stop at that doorbell. Now they have your router. What do they have also? What's hooked to that router? Any computer you have in the house is hooked to that router. Your cell phone's hooked to that router. They have access to everything that you have access to. And you did that. And I have warned people for years, do not get any internet-based security systems on your house. Do not, because they can be hacked. Well, it's worse than being hacked. The passwords are being handed over to law enforcement. Oh, and there's many of you out there going to say, well, I got nothing to hide. You're an idiot. You should have listened to me when I said that hackers now can copy your voice and your face and your head and your mannerisms and post them anywhere. You can extrapolate that data, and you're going to see in a year or less, you're going to see videos of people committing crimes on the internet who were never in the same country. But there's a video of them doing that. Or you're going to see videos. Well, look at Star Wars. Look at the Star Wars movies, the most recent ones. Princess Leia's dead, yet she keeps popping up in these movies. And they can do it now to where you can't tell the difference. So, personally, I do everything I can to keep me off of the internet. Anyway, just wanted to let you know about that. Under government threat also, and this is a big thing, and we've been hearing about this, and unfortunately I think President Trump's getting suckered into it. Mental health is being used as an excuse to expand government surveillance. Mental health has been used for decades to violate individual civil rights and privacy. I recall, and I've told you about this, a friend of mine who died, his wife died in his arms, and he went home to sleep, and long story short, the police kicked his house in, kicked his door in, and arrested him for his own benefit, because somebody said that he might commit suicide because she died. Well, this is happening all over the United States. And I recall years ago that I had I was the commander of the Stanislaus County Militia, and I got information from one of our members who worked in the VA in San Francisco that the VA was going to start turning into the police any of the veterans who were on psychometric drugs. Prozac, Valium, anything, any drug that you take because you're upset or PTSD or anxious, you have anxiety, you have anything, any mental problems in any way, shape, or form, including not being able to sleep well. They're giving you psychotropic drugs, psychometric drugs, and they wanted to turn them in to law enforcement and to the ATF. This was the big push. Well, it's also top secret. I found out about it and broke the news to the Idaho Observer. He did some more research, and the whole front page next issue was about this, and they shut it down. Well, now it's in existence. It is now. This is what's happening. They're using the concept of mental health to take your guns away. And this is well known, and they're even pushing for it. They call it a red flag laws now in many states. But you have all these electronic devices. Amazon Echo, the Apple Watches, Google Home devices, Siri. You see the shows on TV where the guy goes, hey, Siri, play Tchaikovsky's number 5 in B minor. Well, he's talking to one of them electronic devices. And these companies, everything you say, every sound that's made in the presence of those devices is recorded. This is known. Google, Amazon, they all lie and say, no, we don't keep it. And then they end up getting busted for keeping all the information and keeping all the sounds, keeping all the data. So this is an excuse to monitor all of those devices under the category of mental health. It's for your own good, don't you know? So if you have something, any device in any way, shape, or form that can hear you, those sounds are being recorded to possibly determine whether or not you suffer from mental health and need to have an intervention or need someone to come to your house and take your guns away or your children. You think I'm kidding, don't you? All right, I'm going to read something to you I wrote about 20 years ago. I used to write on the internet under the name of The Gunrunner. Our government didn't like that because they had Operation Gunrunner at the time. This is titled Over Your Head, The Sword of Damocles. Dionysus was a 4th century BC tyrant of Syracuse. To all appearances, he was rich and comfortable with all the luxuries money could buy. He even had court flatterers. These are people who would say, oh, you're great, you're wonderful, you have a great profile, you smell beautiful. I mean, okay, this is what a court flatterer is. And they really did, and it was to help inflate his ego. One of these flatterers was Damocles. And he happened to comment to the king one time how well off he was, and that it was sad that Damocles didn't have at least some of the luxuries that the ruler had. One day, when Damocles was overly complimentary on the abundance of what Dionysus had, he turned to him and said, if you think I'm so lucky, how would you like to try out my life? Damocles agreed, and so Dionysus ordered everything to be prepared for Damocles to experience what life as the ruler was like. So Damocles was enjoying himself immensely. He had all the women he wanted, he had food, he had court flatterers were going to town on him, and then he looked up and noticed a very sharp sword suspended from the ceiling by a single horsehair. This, the tyrant explained, was what life as a ruler was really like. Damocles quickly revised his idea of what made up a good life and asked to be excused and returned to his poorer but safer life. So what's the point? Well, I'll get to that, but first I want to read you something else. The following was written in the 1830s by French writer Alexis de Tocqueville. A species of oppression that would be unlike anything that ever before existed in the world, a rule by guardians rather than tyrants. That power is absolute, minute, regular, provident, and mild. It would be like the authority of a parent if, like that authority, its object was to prepare men for manhood, but it seeks, on the contrary, to keep them in perpetual childhood. For their happiness, such a government willingly labors, but it chooses to be the sole agent and the only arbiter of that happiness. It provides for their security, foresees and supplies their necessities, facilitates their pleasures, manages their principal concerns, directs their industry, regulates the descent of property, and subdivides their inheritances. What remains but to spare them all the care of thinking and all the trouble of living? Thus, it every day renders the exercise of the free agency of man less useful and less frequent. It circumscribes the will within a narrower range and gradually robs a man of all the uses of himself. The principle of equality has prepared men for these things. It has predisposed men to endure them and often to look at them as benefits. As an aside to what I'm reading, does that sound like socialism to you? So socialism isn't anything new. This French writer was explaining it. Tocqueville clearly foresaw the weakening of the human spirit that would allow such expansion of government. Government would first bind people up in rules. It covers the surface of a society with a network of small, complicated rules, minute and uniform, through which the most original minds and the most energetic characters cannot penetrate to rise above the crowd. The will of man is not shattered, but softened, bent, and guided. Men are seldom forced by it to act, but they are constantly restrained from acting. Such a power does not destroy, but it prevents existence. It does not tyrannize, but it compresses, enervates, extinguishes, and stupefies a people till each nation is reduced to nothing better than a flock of timid and industrious animals of which the government is the shepherd. I have always thought that the servitude of the regular, quiet, and gentle kind which I have just described might be combined more easily than is commonly believed with some of the outward forms of freedom, and that it might even establish itself under the wing of the sovereignty of the people. And here's my point. Of the people, by the people, for the people, has been replaced with, we know what's best for you. The benevolent government control hypothesized by de Tocqueville above has come to fruition. Maybe the feds have killed a few thousand of us, imprisoned a few tens of thousands of us, and politically and economically destroyed a million more. But all in all, the feds have little physical participation in our destruction. They simply have a few hundred thousand swords of Damocles hanging over our heads. We're with the government. We're here to kill you. Please give us your knife and stick out your throat. We obligingly follow such orders. Stupid, destructive, and evil though they are, we follow them. Such sheepish acquiescence grants the governments the right to continue planting these swords over our heads. When you buy a gun from a dealer, you must fill out the federal form 4473. It asks some very invasive questions to determine if you may own a firearm. One of the questions is, have you ever been adjudicated mentally defective, or have you ever been committed to a mental institution? And if you answer yes, you can't buy a gun. Well, here's one of the biggest swords ever to be placed over Americans' heads. Heard of Prozac? Ritalin? These are known as psychometric drugs, since they modify your mental patterns. By having these deadly drugs prescribed for you, you instantly are deemed mentally defective. According to federal law, you may now not own or buy a firearm. Don't worry. The feds don't seem to be enforcing this law. Oh, wait. Yeah, they are. A few years ago, the feds requested that all the VA hospitals in the U.S. turn over the records of any veteran who had been given Prozac, Ritalin, or any psychometric drug. This was to lead to a major gun confiscation program to get guns out of the hands of quote-unquote illegal owners. I broke the story, and it hit the fan. This program was stopped and swept under the rug. For now. How many other examples of swords can you find? How many other laws sit over our heads, never being enforced, just there to intimidate Americans into doing or not doing something? In California a few years ago, one of the state's socialist senators revisited California's deadly weapons law. He actually placed BB guns in the law as deadly weapons. But they're not enforcing it yet. But as soon as politicians see a noticeable increase in quote-unquote criminal civilian activity, there are a few thousand of these swords of Damocles that can and will be enforced on the American public. Like my grandpa used to say, never let the law get in the way of common sense. Wanted to read that to you to make a point. I was driving this morning coming to work, and we're all doing, it's a single lane road going down, and we're all doing about 30 miles an hour, 35, you know. And all of a sudden, traffic slows down to nothing. I mean, what happened? Maybe somebody hit a squirrel or something. So we're slowly moving forward. And then I look to the right, and here's one of those automatic speed signs. It's a pole that just rolls, and they set it in different places. And it has this readout on it that tells your speed. And it's powered by a solar panel and a battery. So the speed limit there was 25. So these people were slowing down to 25 right at that sign. Right after the sign, they sped up again. Talk about programming. That is just flat astounding. But you see all of these things. You see building codes. You see rules for communicating to people. You see all of these are little swords that are hanging above our heads that the government has not activated yet. But they can, they will, and then they'll claim they've always had that power, and you have no right to argue against it. All right, now we're getting into the liberal psychosis. And just for those of you who don't recall what a definition of psychosis is, a psychosis is a mental aberration when they break from reality. It's like when you see this guy standing in the middle of the street, pointing his finger straight up and yelling and screaming at the dog that's flying over his head, which there isn't one, but that's a psychosis. So this, we have what's known as a liberal psychosis. Liberalism is a mental deficit. So this is the category that we're working on now. And the Democrat National Committee, DNC, has voted to become, and you have to watch the words here, the party of the non-religious. See, according to the psychotics, the Democrats, the Democrats, socialists, communists, Republicans and conservatives are the party of Christians, because we're mostly white, and white people are Christians. This is a weird how their minds work. So the Democrat Party has decided, and they voted on, that they are the party of the non-religious. Now, that's the words they use, non-religious. But what they're saying, and in this article it's explained, they are the party of those that do not believe in God and do not believe in Christianity. So in other words, the Democrats in the United States are no longer religious in any way, shape, or form. I don't quite understand this whole thing, but this is it. They voted, and it says they have decided to become unreligious. Because unreligious people, or atheists, or Muslims, see, Muslim isn't religion to them. Muslim is expected. The only when they use the word religious, they're talking about Christianity. So if you are a sexual pervert, if you are an atheist, if you are Muslim, you're going to vote Democrat. That's basically what they said. Seattle is like San Francisco, which is like Los Angeles, which has their liberal attitude has caused homelessness to skyrocket. And unfortunately, these people are so entitled or psychotic themselves out there that they defecate in the street or on the sidewalk, or they crap in their tents and then take the plastic bag out and throw it on the sidewalk, or what have you. There's a lot of stories about it, and all of them are gross. So the city came out with the idea, look, why don't we just take hoses and hose off the sidewalks? It's a very simple way to do it. And of course, Seattle has a black racist city councilman. And I mean, he is. You listen to him talk. And he says, you can't use hoses because hoses are racist. Hoses make all black people remember times when hoses were used on them. So you just leave the human poop sit there to fester on the sidewalks, but don't use hoses. Maybe a government grant can be used to hire people to come and scoop up the poop on the sidewalks, but don't use hoses. Tucker Carlson has a few words about, words.
The city of San Francisco has decided to ban words that suggest San Francisco has a crime problem. People aren't allowed to talk about crime. Maybe they won't notice crime exists. That's the thinking. So last month, the city's Board of Supervisors decreed that there will be no more convicted felons in San Francisco. Going forward, ex-cons are to be called, quote, justice-involved individuals. Well, as it happens, the people they committed crimes against are also, quote, justice-involved individuals. So, in other words, victim and criminal are now morally indistinguishable. That's on purpose. This is woke equality. But there's a problem. Back in Washington, leaders of the Democratic Party apparently haven't gotten the memo on this. And some are still using the term felon, which is the real F word. Meanwhile, back in the city of San Francisco, there are no longer any juvenile delinquents. That whole category has disappeared. Criminals under 18 are now referred to as, quote, young people impacted by the juvenile justice system, as if the system and not the kid committed the crime, which is what the left, in fact, believes. It's your fault, not theirs. Check your privilege, middle America. Drug addicts, meanwhile, in San Francisco are now called people with a history of substance abuse, rather use, not abuse. Get it? Heroin addicts are now the same as insulin-dependent diabetics. Both use substances. You can't call one better than the other. They're both exactly the same. Now, you could laugh this off at San Francisco, after all, where all the crazy things happen. But think through the implications. Language makes thought possible. When the words disappear, so does our ability to think about the ideas the words represent. When they prevent you from saying the obvious, over time, it becomes impossible to see the obvious. And that's exactly, of course, why they do it. Those who control your words control your mind.
All right, there was a doctor, Michael Mann. He's a scientist at co-authored a famous graph of temperature trends, which is what the psychotics are now using as proof that there's global warming. And another climatologist, Dr. Tim Ball, criticized him and said he's full of crap. He's ridiculous. He doesn't know anything that's going on. This is in British Columbia. Well, the doctor that created the whole concept of this global warming thing sued this other doctor for libel. The court said, well, so he's claiming that everything you're saying is ridiculous and can't be proven and is just liberal blathering. And Dr. Mann said, yes, he knows nothing at all about climatology. Well, the court said, well, okay, all you have to do is prove it. So prove to us that there is global warming. This is a very simple thing, and guaranteed you never heard of it. This original doctor that created the concept of global warming come out and said, well, here's my graphs, here's this, here's that. And the court looked at it all and studied it and said, there's no proof here. Show us the proof, or we're going to dismiss the case. He could not. So the court dismissed the case, the libel case against him. And then they just come out now and said, and by the way, you have to pay court costs for the doctor that you sued for libel. Yeah, I think that's justice. Omar, this racist, anti-American Somali Muslim that got elected to Congress from an area that is so disgusting that it's just astounding that they even pretend that they exist in America anymore. The Federal Election Commission has a complaint filed against her because she, there's a long story with this female. There's a long story with her. She was married, and then she married her brother, and brought him to America, and then pretended she wasn't married to him and married somebody else. And then it was discovered that she was having an affair. This is Representative Ilhan Omar from Minnesota. Minnesota now has gotten to like California. You need to withdraw from the United States. She's having an affair with her campaign manager, which that's not what they're worried about. The fact that she has used hundreds of thousands of dollars, $230,000, to give to him for consulting, quote unquote, while she's having an affair with this guy. She is a disgusting creature. And I mean, she's Muslim. I don't know what else has to be said. And she's in Congress. And there's two of them in there. And they both are racist and hate America. The fact that they hate anything Jewish also, it's the same thing. Well, it's because you guys live in Texas, don't think you're going to get away with it also. So you have this Green New Deal that some Bloomberg decided to push forward on a Texas town, and the town went for it. It was supposed to be, it's Georgetown, Texas, 75,000 people. It's supposed to be they were supposed to be the poster child of the green movement. So they pushed for electricity from wind and solar. That's it, okay? Wind and solar. We're going to do away with oil and natural gas and just do wind and solar. What a dismal failure. The communist Michael Bloomberg gave them $1 million grant to do this. It ain't working. And as a matter of fact, the electric company is almost out of business. They have to raise the rates. They're short $7 million from what they've spent to what they've recouped. And they're going to have to raise their rates to their customers to make that money back. See, that's it. You know, a utility company loses money. They don't lose money because they're going to come to you and take it back. The company here in town, Avista, in this part of Idaho, they gamble on this or that or whatever, or if a transformer breaks in any area, they repair it, and then they add that bill to your bill for the next year. Every single year for 20 years, they've requested from the Public Utility Commission a raise in rates every single year. So this town is almost bankrupt, and instead of using the cheapest form of energy on Earth, natural gas, which, by the way, comes out of Texas, they decided to go to all kinds of solar and windmill, which failed miserably. Yeah, okay. Oh, and talk about millennials. And I've mentioned this one thing I'm going to talk about. You go on YouTube and just type in accidents involving selfies. A selfie is when somebody decides they want to take a picture of themselves with their cell phone, and they just aim it at themselves, and they make a stupid face, and they go, take a picture. Or they stand next to something interesting and take a picture of them in this something interesting. Or they stand on the edge of a precipice with their wife. They've been married 3 hours, and they lean back and take a picture of themselves leaning over the Grand Canyon while they fall to their death 600 feet down. Not a rare occurrence in any way, shape, or form. This is an item that occurs on a daily basis all over the world. These smartphones are taken to millennials and killing them. The majority of them are millennials. A millennial is somebody born between 1991 and 2001. So that's a millennial. They will be known as the stupidest generation on Earth. So there's a woman, and she's doing some yoga. She's a college student, and she's in Mexico. So not Russia. No, sorry. That Russia was last week. So she's in Mexico. She's doing a yoga pose over a railing. She's 80 feet up. She's on the sixth floor. So she's doing a yoga pose over a railing and having a friend of hers video it. And over she goes. Broke both her legs. She didn't die, luckily. She broke 110 bones. Good Lord. So much for majoring in yoga at the University of Mexico. This is, we see this up here. We see it all the time. We literally see people walk into phone poles. They just redid Government Way here. And you know how on the light poles on the corner, you have the button you push so that walk now light gets lit? Well, because that's at face level, they had to change it because too many people are walking around looking down at their cell phones. So they now have 3 foot tall poles right in the center of where you would walk to the crosswalk. So you would walk into it if you're stupid enough to be looking at your phone while you're walking. And the buttons are right there, phone height. I don't know. I guess that's how we call out the society from the unworthy. The Pope, and I'm sorry for you Catholics. This thing that is your Pope is the epitome of a communist. And correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't the Antichrist supposed to destroy the whole concept of Christianity? And that's exactly what he's doing. I'm not saying your Pope is an Antichrist, but if it looks like a duck and it talks like a duck and it walks like a duck, it's probably a commie. He has decided to create an order for Chrislam. This is a perverted combination of Christianity and Islam. Neither can exist next to the other. Islam hates everything that's not itself. And Christianity, theoretically, according to the tenets, loves everything, but has specific rules against certain degraded activities that are promoted by Islam. But he's decided that he wants this Chrislam. So he's meeting with Muslims all over the world. He's trying to create a one-world religion, in other words, where they all live together in peace. I'll have the links up for this. I don't want to get into it that much because this Pope has been an embarrassment since day one. And it should have been realized since day one. You know, when they choose the Pope, they go in the Vatican, they go in secrecy, and then when they're done, they burn something and release the smoke, and then they release the dove. Well, not then, but later on, the Pope did a speech at St. Peter's Square and had two children release white doves to indicate peace. And the doves were instantly attacked by one attacked by a seagull and one attacked by a crow. This is unheard of. It has never happened in over 1,000 years. This guy somehow needs to be removed from office. He's an embarrassment to not just Catholicism, but Christianity worldwide. Now, I've mentioned, in fact, I talked last week about the amount of criminal aliens in federal jails. Well, I got another particle of data here, and it's not just for about criminal aliens, but then again, they are criminal for being elected or arrested. Non-citizens, these are people who are not U.S. citizens, and this covers criminal aliens, illegal aliens, people who have overstayed their visas, people who just show up in this country and then commit crimes. 64% of all federal arrests are non-citizen. 64%. In 1998, 63% of all federal arrests were U.S. citizens. 63% were U.S. citizens. In 2018, 64% of all federal arrests are non-U.S. citizens. This is due to liberal interference in our lives. There's something going on the internet that most of you don't even pay attention to, don't know about, or could care less. But knowledge is power. The more you know about something, the harder it is for you to be scammed. like CBD oil. On my website, I have an article on it that explains all the basics behind it. And I'm not saying buy it from me. I'm saying learn this information, and you can't get ripped off. It's like when I got out of the service, I was going to take my girlfriend first date. You know, I'm back one day. I'm going to take her out. My mom had a 61 Mercury Comet. She had just had a brake job done. Cost her over $300. And I got in the car, and yeah, the brakes were right at the top, but they screamed and squealed. So I said, "Mom, where'd you get this done?" And she gave me the receipt, and I drove over to the gas station. And the guy saw me pulling in, and he grabbed a big wrench, and he comes up and goes, "What do you want?" And I said, "I need you to look at these brakes because they're squealing like crazy, because I just did those brakes. They're fine." I said, "I need you to pull them up onto the rack, and let's take a look at them." And he said, "I don't know who the hell you think you are." And that's as far as I let him go. I went to the phone on the wall, and I called my uncle, who was a captain in a California Highway Patrol. And at that time, the Highway Patrol was in charge of auto repair. So I said, I called up my uncle. I said, "Uncle Stan, got a problem here at this address." And I gave him the address. And the guy's just standing there. He doesn't know what's going on, but he can hear me talking to this guy in the Highway Patrol. So my uncle said, "I'll be right there." So I hung up, and in 5 minutes, my uncle shows up, and he says, "What's wrong?" I said, "Mom got a brake job done here, and it's metal on metal." So my uncle looks at the mechanic and says, "Put it on a rack. I want to see the rear drums." So he puts it on a rack, pulls the wheel off, and they're metal on metal. He didn't do anything except adjust the brake shoes. So my uncle looked at him and said, "I'll be back here in about 3 hours. I expect 4 new drums, new brake shoes, and all the other mechanical equipment necessary on this vehicle. Otherwise, you'll lose your license." So at that point, I said to myself, I'm not going to allow anyone I know to get screwed again by a mechanic. So I went to school for 2 years, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week to be a mechanic. And why did I do that? Again, so that I could tell whether or not I was getting screwed or somebody else was getting screwed. And that gave me, and of course, you know, my training was in the 70s, so it was all old vehicles. Well, they weren't old then, were they? But I still have the basics down. I still have the understanding of how to tell the difference between reality and a scam when it comes to vehicles. So what I'm getting at is the media, the mainstream media, cannot allow independent media websites to come and explain the reality of what's happening. Truth is the enemy of the totalitarian. And the mainstream media, and I'm ABC, CBS, NBC, and all of their derivatives, and I can tell you this, Fox News is right on their tail, are almost as bad. They cannot have independent news out there because people will be able to see the truth. So what they're doing is they're attacking these people. You'll see them all the time. Like they're attacking Tucker Carlson. They attack everybody. They attacked Rush Limbaugh. They attacked everyone who is conservative on the air, everyone who is conservative in the media of any way, shape, or form, newspaper, print, articles, radio. I'm under attack, and I'm just a little pohunk broadcaster, right? What do I got, 47, 48 people listening to me at a time? I don't know. But we have somebody come into the chat room and attacks me all the time, and it's been different agents. This is not one person who doesn't like me. This is a paid agent. And I'll tell you later on, I'll tell you what they are and who they are and what I'm going to do to help them. But regardless, so these media sites are being attacked. Like NBC goes and says, "We're going to destroy this one website and get rid of them because they're fake news." And they have different games they play. One of them is called doxing. It's where they post the address and social security number and where they work and all personal data about somebody, hoping that, I mean, who knows? Either what are they trying to do, embarrass somebody? Or maybe some crazy will say, "That's where he lives. I'm going to go kill him now." I don't know, but that's what these psychotics do. It's always done by communists. Remember, this synonymous, communist, socialist, Democrat, same word. It's always done by those creatures, always. So they're attempting to destroy the media all over the internet. I was just informed by my son. He goes on Reddit. It's a posting site where people go and post about stuff. Now, Reddit is a major, major, major blog site. I mean, there's millions of people that go on it. There's all kinds of different sub-Reddits, they call them. There could be one on communism. There's one on conservatism. There's one called the Donald. He just informed me all conservative sites on Reddit were down, every single one. Now, that could be coincidental. I doubt it. But this is what's happening, and it's going to get worse. And I'll have more data on this as we go along here. But watch out. Don't believe anything in any way, shape, or form what you're told about how bad a site is, how bad a person is. I mean, really, really, really. Everything that comes out of the mouth of a liberal is a lie. Everything that comes out of the mouth of anyone on the mainstream media is barely the truth, and most of the time, an editorial lie. See, news used to be 12 o'clock today, a train derailed over in South Pennsylvania. No, not anymore. That's news. Instead, 12 o'clock today, some Republican decided to post this article that upset the driver of a train so bad that that he was crying and couldn't see the cow on the track. I mean, this is editorializing, and that's what they do. We have enemies in the United States, and these all fall under the same category, Democrat, Communist, Socialist. We have one that's trying to start the second Civil War called Antifa. Some of you know what Antifa is. Antifa is the thug arm of the Democrat National Party. These are criminals that dress up in black, cover their face, and go to lectures, marches, anything they can, and cause problems. They attack people without provocation. And they yell and scream about how we are fascists, how Trump is a fascist, how Republicans are fascists. It's a buzzword they use. Antifa started in the 1930s in Germany. They were a fascist organization. They became a communist, fascist communist organization. And I have pictures of it, of their offices, if you want to put it that way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 floors high. Antifa is nothing new. Antifa has always been thugs getting away with murder. And this is exactly what they are. And I have links to that. You can go find out yourself. But Antifa are being used willfully by the Democrats. If you can't win by your argument, if you can't have the data to prove your side is right, well, it's real simple. Kill the opposing team. And that's what Antifa is. And that's not bad enough. But in the United States, we have professors at colleges. These are paid by my taxes. These professors are at different colleges throughout the United States. And they come out and they say, I am Antifa. I have worked with Antifa. I'm this. And this is well known. And we see them every day. And your children are being taught the whole communist concept that Antifa has been fighting with for years. The sad thing now is that millennials, and these again are anyone born from 91 to 2001, they don't care about patriotism anymore. They don't care about religion. They don't care about family. They literally, it's just a word to them. Do you know what's more important? Their social media, their cell phone, their computer, the games they're playing. They're leading us right down the tube, right for Marxist and communist slavery. I don't see a way out of this. We have lost 4, 5 to 10 generations. I don't know what else to call it, how else to say it. But we have lost too many generations in the United States of Americans. And what we have left now, the true Americans are dying off. The millennials, the aliens are coming up and taking over everything. And in 20 years, America is going to be probably not even America. It'll probably be some kind of, in some, like the EU, the European Union, probably American Union. In June of this year, a whistleblower from Google, very high-placed engineer, showed up at an interesting place, Project Veritas, and they exposed corruption. Strangely enough, all of the corruption they expose is liberal corruption. And this insider, he was known as the Google Insider. He did an interview with Project Veritas, and he did it covertly, and his voice was camouflaged, so you're supposed to not know who it was. Right after that, Google discovered who it was and started to attack him. They sent the police to his house and said that he's threatening to kill himself, so you better go protect him. They screwed with his mail. They screwed with everything. After the video was done by Project Veritas, and he was on there. He was interviewed. It was quite long. I'll actually have a link to all of this. Again, armchairsurvivalist.com on the left-hand side, show notes, and you'll find the links. At the same time that he was interviewed, he gave them the complete, what they call the document dump. This is all of the documents this guy took with him. It's not a lightweight dump. It shows the filthy underbelly of Google and what they've been doing. There's listings in these categories for these files: censorship, politics, hiring practices, machine learning fairness, psychological research, partisanship, leadership training, miscellaneous, and other videos. I have it all, and you can have it all. You'll go to the link that I'm posting, and you'll be able to download all of these, and you'll be able to look at them yourself. There's a lot. I think there's like 900 pages. But what he discovered, well, you need to hear what's going on. All of a sudden, the mainstream media and the internet, and when I say internet, I mean YouTube, Twitter, Google, Facebook, started attacking conservatives even more so than they have before. They started deleting millions of accounts, hundreds of thousands of posts, videos on Facebook, anything that had to do with conservatism. And now, I'm on Facebook, and if anybody actually ever gave a damn and went there and listened to my shows, I'd probably get deleted too. But I'm safe because nobody goes there. Alex Jones was banned within days from all the social media. Just bam, 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 taken off. He ended up having a special interview with this gentleman. The interview, I had to edit down. Believe me, it was long. And I got it down to about 36 minutes. But before that, there's a link I'm going to play you where this guy was interviewed and he gave a synopsis of what Google has planned and what Google was doing. So take a listen.
Kevin Cernicke worked at the company for 3 years before he was fired. He claims that he was harassed for his conservative views, and now he's concerned that some Google employees might work to make sure that President Trump loses next year.
And Kevin Cernicke joins us right now from Mountain View, California. You're worried that Google is trying to put their thumb on the scale to beat Donald Trump, right? How do they do that?
Yes, that's absolutely true. When President Trump won in 2016, Google executives went up on stage right away and cried, literally tears streaming down their faces over the fact that President Trump won. They vowed that it would never happen again, and they want to use all of the power and all the resources that they have to control the flow of information to the public and make sure that Trump loses in 2020.
How do they do that?
Well, they have a lot of methods. One thing you might not know is that YouTube censors a lot. Like every 3 months, YouTube deletes about 8 million videos and 3 million accounts. Recently, Google has been getting extremely aggressive in censoring even political advertisements. They just openly do it. It works once or twice. There's no pushback. They continue. They ramp up the censorship. There's bias in the search results. They have released search quality ratings that say they don't want to be returning too many results for extreme sites. And if you're a conservative news outlet, they'll consider you an extreme site. So they have a lot of different ways of putting their thumb on the scale. They also have a huge amount of information about every single voter, every single person in the U.S. They can mine that information. They can use that to kind of build psychological profiles and figure out how to change your mind. They run counter-programming on YouTube. If you visit a conservative video, they will display other content below it.
Kevin, what did they do to you? I know you said you were fired. Tell us why you were fired and what you saw behind the scenes.
Yeah, so basically when I joined Google, I saw a lot of conservative employees being mistreated. They were being harassed, they were being threatened, they were being blacklisted. And I complained to HR about this. I ran it up the chain. I went to a VP and raised my concerns there, and I got a final written warning letter just for raising those concerns. So I took it to the labor board and I said, hey, look, Google is mistreating people. There's a lot of discrimination here. What can we do about it? And eventually they fired me for participating in that labor board investigation. I think President Trump needs to know that there are a lot of potential whistleblowers in these companies, and they will speak up if they know that he has their back.
Kevin, here's what Google had to say about your firing. They said, we enforce our workplace policies without regard to political viewpoint. Lively debate is a hallmark of Google's workplace culture. Harassment, discrimination, and the unauthorized access and theft of confidential company information is not. So that's what they claim you did. You say it's because of political views. Why is it so one-sided? I think a lot of Americans would say a booming economy, capitalism is good for a company like Google, why do they discriminate openly or privately against conservatives and President Trump?
They are very biased. There's bias at every level of the organization. There are a lot of activists working for Google. Groupthink there is extremely strong, and if you disagree with it just one iota, they will go after you, they'll target you, they'll make you an example. They are very, very intent on making sure that nobody inside Google can speak up against their bias.
As we head toward the 2020 election, what should be done? Should Washington step in?
I believe that's the most important thing that can happen. I think lawmakers need to step in. I think government agencies need to step in. They need to review the history of labor complaints against Google and see why were all these cases closed? What is going on in this workplace? The workplace problems are well documented, but nobody has ever stepped in to do anything about them. Hey, I think that's a disgrace.
Hey, Kevin, you work at Google, but so you're intimately familiar with that organization. But would you say the same thing is happening at Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all the other social media sites? Is the same culture pervasive against pro-Trump or conservatives?
I have heard from friends that it is common at the other companies. I've heard that some of the companies are a lot better at keeping it kind of under wraps, keeping it under control. At Google, it's basically the Wild West.
All right, that was a Fox and Friends interview, and that just gives you a quick synopsis of the whole thing. What I'm going to play now is the Alex Jones interview with him. And again, I had to edit it down. But if you listen close, you get started to get the idea, and then we'll talk afterwards.
No matter what you think you know about Alex Jones, the interview he did with this man proves the main reason all the social media giants took him off their platforms on the same day. And it was not the reason they gave to the public. If you were too busy to be able to watch this interview, then you need to see it now. This topic, the person in the studio with Alex, what the facts are, and their real agenda is horrifying. Zach Voorhees was not fired from Google. After working for Google for 8 years, he decided that he could no longer take his big paycheck in good conscience, seeing what they were doing, and he left on his own. Listen carefully, and you'll understand how these tech giants are going to help the Antichrist continue to change reality as we once knew it.
We are joined here in studio by Zach Voorhees. And I'm not going to even try to go over his whole bio here. You've been on a couple times with us. Google is battling to suppress this information. You're a major engineer that has released what they call the Ed Snowden-level dump on big tech and their massive censorship. You've written a new article for Medium.com that details when they're rigging search results and when they aren't and how it's being done. So thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Alex Jones. It's a pleasure being on your show today.
It's a pleasure to have you, Zach. Get into whatever you want, because I really want to let you talk about the world, why you did this, where you see this going, what you think about the integrity of the elections, what you think about all the new censorship coming out and happening. Now they're not even letting Trump send out things saying, we want to recruit strong women like you. They say that's a triggering word because maybe a person that isn't a woman sees the name woman. This is beyond mental illness. This is a plan to kill the language.
Did you hear what Alex just said? This is a plan to kill the language. This is a plan to kill the history of the past and make people, especially our youth, believe what the globalists want them to.
And what you think Trump should do, because Trump is listening, and so is Congress, and when they banned the leader of the Senate from being on Twitter, I think they're really starting to understand that big tech is really in a power map.
Yeah, you know, they are trying to sculpt the information landscape, and they've been telling us, you know, in congressional testimony that they don't have any political bias. And at this point, the political bias is so strong that they're not fooling anyone. They banned the Facebook ad for Women for Trump because they're assuming the audience's gender. Like, what kind of clown world is this that this sort of thing is allowed to happen? And so, you know, Google's been involved in election meddling for a while now. And this is something that I discovered as an insider working for the company. And so I decided that I was going to take the documents that were publicly available to the internal network and capture them and dox Google to the world so that people could really understand what was really going on at Google.
Again, recap what you released, how you decided to do it, what it details.
Yeah. So let's go back to like 2016. Donald Trump got elected, and the corporate culture of Google like radically changed. It did a 180-degree change, and they went from like everyone should be able to express yourself to there's a bunch of fake news, and we need to start censoring that because that is unduly influencing people. And also, they believed that Russia hacked the election, and so the executives didn't really see the opposing evidence that the Russians didn't hack the election, that it was actually an insider that leaked this information. Well, I thought that maybe this information would eventually reach them, but it didn't. They sort of like doubled down, and they kept on doubling down. And so a bunch of things started happening within the company. A bunch of documents started being released, and they started to create this design for this censorship program called Machine Learning Fairness. And so when I disclosed this information, I did it through Project Veritas, which is an amazing journalist outlet. They do undercover work. And I gave the documents to them. They did a sting operation on one of the executives, Jen Janai. And Jen Janai admitted to the undercover that only Google could prevent the next Trump situation in 2020.
The reason why I decided to come to Project Veritas is because people need to know what's actually going on with Google. There's this facade about what they're doing, but what they're actually doing, what the employees are actually seeing inside the company, is different.
But the reason we launched our AI principles is because people were not putting that line in the sand. They were not saying what is fair and what's equitable. So we're like, well, we are a big company. We're going to say it.
People who voted for the current president do not agree with our definition of fairness.
They're not an objective piece. They're not an objective source of information.
But then there are teams which are called ML Fairness.
ML Fairness, the teams?
Fairness, like, yeah. You know, you need to be fair.
We're also training our algorithms, like, if 2016 happened again, would the outcome be different?
They are a highly biased political machine that is bent on never letting somebody like Donald Trump come to power again.
2020 is certainly on top of, now my old organization, Trust and Safety, top of mind. They've been working on it since 2016 to make sure we're ready for 2020.
This is a Goliath, I'm but a David, trying to say that the emperor has no clothes.
He got called in front of Congress multiple times. They can pressure us, but not changing.
Being a small little ant, I can be crushed, and I'm aware of that. But this is something that is bigger than me. This is something that needs to be said to the American public.
Elizabeth Warren is saying that we should break up Google. And like, I love her, but she's very misguided. Like, that will not make it better. It will make it worse. Because now all these smaller companies who don't have the same resources that we do will be charged with preventing the next Trump situation. It's like a small company could not do.
And it's like,
once they had that undercover video, I decided to come out anonymously and give my perspective on what the company culture was like. Google then targeted me and ended up swatting me at my house and sending bomb squad people because they called in a wellness check. And at that point, I realized that, you know, my life was in danger. This wasn't going to go away. And that the only way to, you know, disclose the crimes of this company was to unveil myself, come out publicly, release all the documents that I had so that people could find out the truth. So that's the story on how this sort of unfolded. It's the short version.
And now they've been caught red-handed. And so Twitter, again, bans the Senate leader, majority leader, Mitch McConnell, who just simply linked to video of people coming to his house saying, we're going to kill you, but left the accounts up that he was linking to on Twitter. And then now, like you said, Facebook, I'm going to put this on screen in color if we can for TV viewers. Facebook bans Trump campaign ad. This is today for assuming gender identity. And it's the exact same ads Hillary put out. The Women for Trump Coalition needs the support of strong women like you. They said, well, maybe someone who's not a woman sees this. Well, yeah, like thumbing through a magazine. You see ads for weddings. Maybe you're not getting married. The idea with this San Francisco culture, it seems to be what it is, projected through big tech, that they can ban anything they want if someone's offended. It's like a new language. It's like a virus.
It's like a new language. It's like a virus.
What would you call this, where a group of women supporting Trump hurts people that aren't women? Like, it's like saying the word mother and father is bad. They really mean to impose this total war on language.
Right. And this is something that George Orwell talked about in his book 1984. And what he predicted was that the totalitarians would be able to seize control of society through linguistical hacking. And so he had this word called doublespeak.
If you have a logical thought, you got to kill that.
You got to kill that. You got to suppress it. And so what these totalitarians are doing is that they're attacking us at the language level. And the thing is that if they can change the definition of words so that they don't mean what they used to, then you have to actually actually understand their parallel definition of all the words in order to make sense of what they're saying.
So it's a coded priesthood. Gangs use codes.
Yeah.
This is like a military. It uses scrambled communications.
Right. It's weaponized propaganda that is being pushed. And the thing is that it's not just one media outlet. It's a whole bunch of establishment players.
Oh, they've all linked up.
Yeah.
They're all banning Twitter, Facebook, MemeWorld.com in live time.
Yes, they are. And the reason why they're doing this is because contradictions to the narrative are very damaging. And this was proved in a study in the 1960s called the Ash Experiment. Here's the thing that's really crazy about this experiment. If one of the actors gives the right answer, then this consensus effect is broken. Okay. And so in order for these totalitarians to be able to seize control of a society, they need to have a total lockdown on the information landscape. And so people like you, Alex Jones, that come here and, you know, contradict the narratives of this establishment players, that breaks the consensus effect. Because people try to, you know, they start researching what you say, and a lot of the things that you say are actually true. And that's devastating for these totalitarians. They don't want true information to be coming out. And so they've made a concerted effort to be able to block information that contradicts their establishment narrative.
And this is what's happening today, all through the tech giants' control of what they allow you to see online and through mainstream media. Weaponized propaganda. They don't want truth coming out that contradicts their false narratives. Their establishment narratives.
I want to go back to this study because I'd read about that a few times. I'd never seen the video. I'd never seen the footage. I didn't know there was footage of where clearly these are lines that anyone can look at. These are clear vertical lines that any idiot could see which one is the tallest. It's number two. But if everybody else says the other line, then the people via peer pressure go with it. I guess that's the follower instinct. But isn't it what leadership is to do the right thing even when the mass isn't for you?
Right. You know, a sign of a good leader is one that has an allegiance to truth and honesty. But those leaderships pose a threat to the establishment. And so they need to be demonized, need to be slandered by these giants.
And isn't that the essence of a successful civilization is allegiance to truth?
Yes, absolutely. Every society that has had allegiance to truth has been one that's been strong. And every society that's fallen towards Marxism or fallen into Marxism has established first this political correctness and this control over speech. And this happened in Russia. This happened in China.
Look how smart this Google engineer is. Imagine they got a lot of other smart ones working for the bad guys. That's scary.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm glad you brought this up, because then you've got the Milner experiments and all the others, where if they get the majority of people that are actors to say, hey, let's electrocute this student to death, most people will do it. Yes, most people under peer pressure will act like Nazis, for real, real Nazis. We read about microdosing LSD, psilocybin, other things in big tech, and, you know, kind of the weird things they're doing and the things that big tech's up to. And what's going on with these tech executives' eyes under the big white lights? You mentioned this experiment. I'd read about it once. I'd never seen film footage. They pulled it up, an experiment in conformity.
Yeah. So I learned about this experiment when I was getting my major in psychology at the University of Oregon. And it was really a groundbreaking study. Like, no one ever knew that the consensus was that strong, at least in the public domain. And so I saw this experiment in my textbooks, and then I looked it up on YouTube and I saw the whole video on it. And I was like, wow, this is really, you know, a fundamental, you know, insight into human psychology. And then things start to make a lot more sense. Like, you need to have everyone within, you know, a contained Overton window of acceptable political discourse.
And let's put the footage of that experiment back up. I'm intrigued.
And so, you know, what they're doing is that they're taking the Overton window of political discourse, kind of, and then what they're doing is that they're narrowing it down to one wrong answer. And then the person, you know, responds by going along with the consensus. And this experiment has been repeated over and over and over and over again. And yeah, it's one of the fun, you know, foundational studies. If anyone wants to understand what's going on, then what they should do is they should look at this experiment. You know, it exists on YouTube and it exists on BitChute still.
And the old Google model was based on what people liked and what they clicked. It was a very honest thing of crowdsourcing and kind of the wisdom of the common man that, hey, everybody's going to that restaurant or everybody's drinking out of that well. The water must be good. The food must be good. So they kind of jack into our own human consciousness that, well, if these are real people and they all see it's the other length, I must be out of my mind today. I must have a problem in my eyes. So I'll go with them because I trust my tribe. I trust my people. But these were six mercenaries hired to all lie to you to make you feel alone. This is gaslighting.
It is. It is gaslighting. It's too bad that it's happening. And the thing is that what's really surprising is that Eric Schmidt in 2005 on Charlie Rose actually disclosed what they were planning on doing with Google. And what he did is he explained that Google had the most bugs of any company because when you do a search on Google, you get more than one result. And what he said is that was a bug. In fact, every result other than the one correct result that was given was essentially the incorrect answer. This was really like mind blowing. And for me, I thought, well, you know,
he was admitting it. We're getting you all hooked with a real crowdsource. You're really interfacing with human intelligence through a machine. All of us coming together saying this is best. And once you are subconsciously hooked because you've been getting truth, we're going to give you pure poison.
Yeah, that's correct. And so I think that this was, you know, the censorship regime that's currently, you know, going on was actually something that was put into a plan like a long time ago. And it's really ironic that the company that when they IPO'd had this mission statement of organizing the world's information and making it universally accessible and useful.
The head of Google, the head of Alphabet, the real spider at the center of the web, Eric Schmidt, saying 8 years ago on Charlie Rose, Google's got the most bugs of anybody because you get all these results. We're going to give you the one right result. That means whoever pays them the most money for a restaurant or for your tires or for anything. In the final equation, it won't just be all these searches and what you like and what you visit and what you vote on. It'll be what we want to give you. And so Google had all this on the shelf. It was being looked at. I think when Hillary lost, they got scared and accelerated the authoritarian plan. They were worried their own engineers and people would get upset because there was the old other maxim of not just organize the world's information to control it, but to also do no evil or Google, you know, don't be evil. Well, I mean, now Google's real logo or real definition or real catchphrase should be one ring to rule them all and in the darkness bind them. So, Zach, you're on a roll here, and please continue.
If someone were to say that Eric Schmidt said this, they would think you're absolutely crazy. But the thing is that we've got proof that he actually said this. And so you have to just watch this video to believe that he's actually saying this.
My question is leading to is help us understand where's the future of search going.
Well, when you use Google, do you get more than one answer? Of course you do.
Yeah, of course.
Well, that's a bug. We have more bugs per second in the world.
No,
because we should be able to give you the right answer just once. We should know what you meant. You should look for information. We should give it exactly right. And we should give it to you in your language. And we should never be wrong.
I knew he's made statements like it, but to see it back it up again, that actually made me dizzy. He's saying we're not going to give you choice. We're going to decide what you want. And now I can't search a Breitbart headline. I can't search an InfoWars headline with exact headlines. They won't come up on news, on web, on it. And now Facebook blurs my face out, tells people you'll be banned unless it's negative. So everyone is now sarcastically going, look at this scum. Look at this filth. He exposed Epstein, you know, 10 years ago. So there's some sarcasm going on. That's why they don't like memes, because the AI can't understand it. But don't worry, they've got humans looking over your shoulders. So Zach Voorhees, what an incredible clip.
It's a lot to digest.
Yeah, here it is. Play it again.
What my question is leading to is help us understand where's the future of search going.
Well, when you use Google, do you get more than one answer? Of course you do.
Yeah, of course.
Well, that's a bug.
Yeah.
We have more bugs per second in the world.
No,
because we should be able to give you the right answer just once. We should know what you meant. You should look for information. We should give it exactly right. And we should give it to you in your language. And we should never be wrong.
You should be God. So let me throw this out at you. That's like saying when you turn your radio on, you should get one song, one channel all the time because we know what you need and we're never wrong. Well, the whole world's about differentiating and change and finding new things and going through things. So you talk about the ultimate safe space. We give you the perfect answer always. Well, there is no perfect answer unless you're God. So they're saying we're going to play God. Or it's like saying when you go out to find your girlfriend or your wife or your husband, we're just going to tell you who it is. It's a programmed robot. This sounds like hell. This is like the ultimate authoritarian statement of no choice.
Right. And the thing is that when he says we're going to give the right answer, what does he mean by the right answer? Like who makes that decision about what's right or not?
Who makes that decision about what's right or not?
Is there a bunch of social engineers that are trying to define what's right? And therefore, that one right answer is according to their definition of what's right.
So he just told us, as a cult leader, what his ultimate end game is, and now they're trying it.
Yeah, and the thing is that when he mentioned this, it's like Google's mission statement to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful was in total contradiction to what he said on that Charlie Rose show. And so they're saying both things at the same time. You know, how are you organizing the world's information, making it accessible if you're only returning one search result?
One ring to bind them, one ring to find them, and then in the darkness bind them.
Yeah.
He gets everybody to come to him for the power he's giving. That's literally Lord of the Rings. They all join it. And then, oh, by the way, you're all my slaves now. Yeah. There's one answer. We have the definition of the devil right there. I mean, that is like to take free will, to take the colleges. Oh, the place of ultimate learning. Any idea can be said here. Now the most orthodox, controlled, insane mother and father is bad expressed on Facebook where the Republicans can't buy an ad saying we're reaching out to strong women. We believe in women. Now the very liberal ethos is Martin Luther King they're putting down. Yeah. They are attacking the original liberal ethos.
Well, the thing is that I think that there's a misconception that the left is actually liberal. I consider myself a liberal, but liberal seems to be a conservative value now because, like, I grew up in the 1990s. I believe on judging people by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. But now, like, with safe spaces and this, like, new segregation that's moving in and demonizing one race for, you know, the white race for all the different problems.
I have a stack right here of the news today saying whites are inherently evil. That is Hitlerian to say a group is evil because of what color they are.
Yeah. I mean, it's like pre-World War II Germany, you know, and it's ramping up. They're like, oh, this is liberalism. I'm like, what? You know, the demonization of whites constantly through the New York Times, that represents liberalism? I don't think so. Liberalism means we don't judge people by their immutable characteristics. We judge them by what's in their head. And we treat everyone equally under a liberal society. And the left has completely abandoned that and replaced it with progressivism. So
because they believe racial fascism will win. I mean, they call us Nazis all day. They are literally funded. Their main funder is a Nazi collaborator.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't make this up.
Yeah, George Soros, you know, and there's videos of him. I've seen two videos now where he's talking about the exhilaration that he had sending Jews off to concentration camps. What's really ironic is that if we criticize George Soros, then they call us anti-Semites. It's really sad.
Corporate total dominance with government.
Right. And imagine that the Antifa, the anti-fascists, are fighting people and not the big tech fascists.
How do we fight back? What do you think their Achilles heels are?
I actually want to recommend a book called SJWs Always Lie by Vox Day.
Yeah.
That's the only book that I would recommend that someone would read if they're going
to
read
it. I don't mean to plug it, but we do sell it at InfoWarsStore.com. That's one of the few books I've read the last year. I've been so busy.
Yeah.
They always lie.
They always lie. And the thing is that people that aren't familiar with the tactics, you know, because this is weaponized, they don't understand what's going on. And so they're likely to make a bunch of mistakes. They think that they just capitulate and, like, apologize, then it's just going to go away.
Few years ago, I'm like, well, I'm not really saying that about Sandy Hook. But if you say I'm hurting you and sending people to your house, I never did that, but I apologize. That's when they just full metal attacked.
Yeah, they doubled down. And the thing is that they're going to parade your apology around and say, well, you know, he admits to this, that he's like X, Y, or Z bad person. And then they're going to use that and they're going to parade it around. And this is not something that people like understand intuitively. And so the thing is that, you know, get this book, SJWs Always Lie by Vox Day, and read it. It's a fascinating read and it goes by really quickly.
If this is really happening, I'm sorry. And then they just all go out with talking points and then see and just attack, 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 attack.
Yeah. So I followed this book basically as a tactical operation manual on how I was going to leak this information. So, but let's go back. Like, what exactly did I do at YouTube? What I did at YouTube was I was a senior software engineer. And so if anyone turns on like the television or, you know, PlayStation 4 or Xbox or Nintendo Switch and they see the embedded version of YouTube playing on their television, that's the app that I was working on. And when I left YouTube, when I resigned, that app constituted 10% of YouTube's entire traffic.
Wow. So, well, sure, because I had other big engineers on. They call senior and they go, oh, no, Zach's the big kahuna. Like you are the biggest person to defect from Google.
Yeah, I am. That was my role at Google. I've been at Google for 8 years. And then the last three, that's when everything was turning into clown world. And so I decided that understanding how the Marxist left works, I realized that they don't even understand that what they're doing is appalling and reprehensible. And as a result, they just left all of their documents about what they were going to do, all their plans, available on the internal public internet that any full-time employee could to get. So I want to give you an example, actually. There's a video of Susan actually admitting everything that they're going to do. And this happened, I believe, in 2017 at the summer stream event for all the employees of YouTube. Can we roll that?
A hard area. You know, a year ago, we didn't have the term fake news. Now everything is about fake news. We hear about it every single day. It's had a lot of concerns about how it affected the election, how it affects politics. News is important to us. We are a platform with global distribution. We talked about the number of users that are coming to us. We have some responsibility to make sure that we are delivering the news when something important happens in the world, when there's a crisis. We think people could benefit from this news. So it's, news has always been important to YouTube. We also see people in locations like Syria where their traditional news organizations can't get to, and people are talking about citizen journalism coming out of Syria. So what are we doing? Basically, this sounds easy, but it's really hard to do. We're pushing down the fake news, we're demoting it, and we are increasing the authoritative news and promoting it. How do we do that? We have a whole system. We came up with trashy news where we have build classifiers, we identify it, we look for salacious, for clickbait, content that isn't, that we don't think is the authoritative news. It's just kind of encouraging people to look at, but it's not true. We're training. We added these instructions to our raters, and we've updated our classifiers, and we are working to understand, identify that with machine learning, and then to push that down. And then we're increasing our authoritative news. We're doing that with things like a breaking news shelf. We're triggering it in the U.S., in France, in the U.K., and more countries coming soon, where we have sources that come from reputable sources. We work with Google News on that to define what those reputable sources are. It triggered last week in the London Bridge attacks. It's also going to trigger on search when you type in something.
Oh, yeah, they covered up that Muslims did that.
News there. We're also working with a lot more news publishers. News publishers don't want to be in the technical business of running their own player. We can do that for them. And we also want to get more news players on the platform. We have the goal of getting over 100 new news providers on our platform this year.
So what's really interesting is that the stream event happened and I heard her, you know, say those words, and I recorded that video to leak it to the public so that they could see what was going on. That was an internal event. It was kind of open to public insiders, but it was mostly for the employees. And I started to ask myself, well, what exactly do they think fake news is? And so I found their fake news like definitions in their design documents. And it turned out that real events were being labeled as fake news.
Real events were being labeled as fake news. Did you hear that? Wow.
They're directly blocking the Senate leader. They're directly blocking Trump when they block Carpe Donctum. And I'm going to just look. The enemy knows that. I'm not giving you secrets. But they have reached a new arrogance level where they tell you they're not censoring and they're doing it in live time and lying to the president's face. And he says strong action. We'll talk about what that strong action should be.
You know, the issue of fake news. And we had, you know, the CEO of YouTube, Susan Wojcicki, talking about how they were going to take fake news and suppress it, and that they were going to start boosting authoritative news. And so the question that I had was, what exactly is fake news? And so
it's whatever Eric Schmidt says it is.
Right. They had a document available to all the full-time employees that defined what fake news was. And so I want to sort of show you that one of the things that was in this fake news as an example was actually something that happened, which is the evidence that, okay, they are intending to become social engineers. So this is part of the document dump that was released through Project Veritas. If the audience wants to look at this, they can go to Project Veritas and download this. And this is called the Google efforts to address fake news. And so on page 5, there's this document here. And if you look at the second example, and that is WikiLeaks confirms Hillary sold weapons to ISIS, then drops another bombshell, breaking news. And then the second one is something similar. Hillary's ISIS email just leaked, and it's worse than anyone could have imagined. Well, Hillary Clinton was running weapons to ISIS through Benghazi.
That's now been in Congress.
Yeah, that's been in Congress. That was a conspiracy theory. Now it's a conspiracy fact. And the social engineers are classifying that as fake news. Okay? And which means that what they want to do is they want to start training their AI algorithms to find that and all the patterns that are similar to that and de-rank it, because they don't want, for some reason, they don't want bad news about Hillary Clinton surfacing.
Well, we know from the WikiLeaks, Hillary's on the phone with the media and Google because she had so much power as kind of the shadow president with Obama, but he would watch SportsCenter. She was actually on the phone all day. It's in WikiLeaks, bitching at Google, saying, hide this, hide that.
Yeah.
So much of it is Hillary.
The way that Google was able to influence the election is that they were deleting the search prediction results when people were trying to find information about Hillary Clinton. Now, the thing is that a lot of people went on and were searching for the Clinton body count, because there's a lot of people that have died, you know, related to Hillary Clinton. And it's
like Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah. And it's all been cataloged, and it's all been, you know, and some of them, they were listed as suicides, but they died through two gunshots to the back of the head. That information is out there. It's been cataloged. We're able to find it. But what was happening is that when people would go and try to type in like Hillary Clinton body count, the Google search prediction was shut off. And the thing is that if you went and searched, for example, Trump body count, that search result prediction was suggested to the user. And the thing is that Google says that their search prediction feature is based off of user data. Now, I was able to use Google's own services at trends.google.com to show the real search traffic for this search term and show that Google was lying. So either Google is lying through one service or they're lying through the other. And either way, they're both lying.
Well, I'm going to teach you what censorship's all about and how, if we're going to have a free society, we got to stop it. Zach Voorhees is our guest, and he was just getting into his Medium article that we've reposted at Infowars.com. Google Insider exposes how tech giant is fixing the search results, hiding the Clinton death count. It's up on Infowars.com. It's up on NewsWars.com. You definitely want to share that. That'll make folks at Google and Twitter and Facebook to think that you're done, think that they can pull this. You know, are they pulling this massive censorship and exercise of social engineering because they're desperate or because they're arrogant?
I think that it's actually both. They've elected themselves as the autocrats to decide what is true and what is not. And that's what we're facing with right now. And the thing is that I'm not entirely sure that the executives are really running the company. I suspect that there might be someone above them operating from the shadows, operating through the executives.
And then they ordered them to bring in all the Southern Poverty Law Center, 100,000 trainees, who then on their off time, as you exposed, they had the back doors Google gave them, and then they go in and do the sabotage. And then when we caught them last year, even Bloomberg said, oh, our employees weren't trained and some other people got in.
Yeah. And the thing is that I've noticed this pattern of insiders being able to hack Google's systems because I saw how they took down Jordan B. Peterson.
Obviously, something this powerful is going to get abused. I'm surprised Google didn't do more abuse up until Hillary lost. I mean, this is damn powerful. And so it's going to get abused.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that the establishment was in power in the United States. And so they didn't really need to apply all of this control because they had control. And it was when they started to lose control was when the mask got ripped off. And as a result, now we're seeing what they truly are. And it's a really nasty, ugly beast that is fighting for its life, I think. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me, is that from their behavior, that they're really in a total war situation for the American mind.
Big tech is in a total war for the American mind. That's the thing, is this is so epic and so real. China about to invade Hong Kong and Taiwan, India going into Kashmir, all these geopolitical moves. The Washington Post saying Xi will defeat Trump and save America. There's the headline. We're living like in a comic book movie right now.
Now we've got the media rooting for our foreign adversary. Unbelievable.
One of my oldest, he may be the oldest employee here, 17 plus years. His sister won't bring the grandkids over to see his mom in Minnesota. And his mom's great, and they had a great relationship because she's a Trump supporter, and she won't even really talk to him now. And she told me this morning, he goes, you know, she says white people are inherently bad and will be better once they're all gone. And that basically, you know, that he's like, honey, that's evil. And she's just gone.
Yeah.
She's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, so we sit here and laugh at this. This is real programming. I mean,
yeah.
This is working on some people.
Google admits that, you know, there's a 4-step process, and the last step is that people are programmed. That's their words. Okay. And it didn't just end up in one slide. It ended up in two slides that I saw in different PowerPoint presentations.
I should just be saying, what shocked you most? What was the process? 8 years, you're become one of their top engineers from a junior engineer, and you're just looking at this versus what's on the news. You're inside seeing the truth, and then you're seeing what they're saying on the news.
Right. I remember sitting at my desk listening to testimony by, I think it was one of the executives, saying that we don't employ blacklists. And so I just go to the internal search engine called MoMA and I search for blacklist, and up pops this huge or 40-page blacklist for YouTube. And I'm just like it, the lies are just so in your face that it's ridiculous. It needs to be confronted. It needs to be exposed. So I want to talk about this Clinton body count.
And, yeah, please.
And before talk about Clinton, I wanted to let the audience members know that I am not suicidal and that I have no plans of killing myself or overdosing on drugs, because I don't do that.
So, I mean, this is real. This is real.
This is real. Even Dr. Robert Epstein just like made an announcement today that he's not suicidal because he just got into a fight with Hillary Clinton on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. That article's on InfoWars. It's the most evil photo of Hillary. And there's a bunch. I meant to start the show with that. And Epstein has fight with Hillary.
So let's talk about how Google suppressed the autocomplete for the Clinton body count. So this is a Medium article that I wrote. When someone goes to Google search and they type in, for example, Trump body, the letter C, what they'll get is a suggestion. Do you mean Trump body count? So there's this article that I wrote. And if you type in Trump body, you know, C, it autocompletes to Trump body count. Now, if we try the same thing for Clinton body C, nothing autocompletes at all. The search results are omitted. And so, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the audience at home to go to Google search and try this right now. Okay, go to Google search, type in Trump body C with spaces in between them, and you'll see that, yeah, it autocompletes the Trump body count. Now try the same thing with Clinton body count and no search result will exist. According to Google, all the search predictions are built off of user search data. So I want to quote them from their own blog, and they say, predictions, not suggestions. You'll notice we call these autocomplete predictions rather than suggestions, and there's a good reason for that. Autocomplete is designed to help people complete a search they were intending to do, not to suggest new types of searches to be performed. These are our best predictions of the query you are likely to continue entering. How do we determine these predictions? We look at the real searches that happen on Google and show common and trending ones relevant to the characters that are entered and also related to your location and previous searches. According to these public statements, if there isn't a search prediction, then it's because there's no one searching for them. This would be fine and dandy if it weren't for the fact that we can go to trends.google.com and see the real search traffic. In my Medium article, I took a screenshot where I compared the search traffic for the Clinton body count with the Trump body count. The Clinton body count is in blue. And if you look at Trump's, you know, search query results,
it's almost at zero down there as red.
It's almost zero. Like no one's searching it in relation to the.
So that's Death Valley. Trump's Death Valley below sea level. But we're at the top of the highest mountain in the world, the Clinton body count.
Right. And the thing is that the historical results from the trend services are much harder to erase and hide. And this means that we can cross-reference search terms between autocomplete.
So you're bringing out smoking gun evidence they rigged this off their own data.
Yeah. What I'm going to ask is for the listeners of the show, I want you to go and use Google Trends and compare it with the Google searches. When you see the political bias, I want you to post this to Twitter and maybe a comment section on InfoWars if it exists. And we need to like spread this information around because each one of us can prove that Google is lying.
We're all Sherlock Holmes, and we all just show this to everyone. Hey, look how you're being lied to.
Just so you understand this, what he was saying was that Google, plain old Google, is basically using psychology to warp how you think about everything. It's a very simple process. If they don't want you to think a positive thought about Trump, they can do one of two things. They can just say all kinds of negative things about Trump, or they cannot allow his word, his name, to even come up on anything. So you would not have him existing anywhere in anywhere around, anywhere on the internet. You go look for Trump, and there's nothing there. The only way to find out about Trump is to go to the White House website. So there's two ways how they do this, and they do this in an insidious manner. And it isn't just Google; it's everything that Google owns. And it's not just Trump. It is everything that has to do with conservatism. It's everything that has to do with America. It's everything that has to do with Christianity. It's everything that has to do with sanity. Google is part of the, what I call the conspiracy by coincidence. This is the group of businesses, corporations, individuals who want one world government, one world religion, and of course, they're going to be in charge of it. But to do that, they have to eradicate and destroy everything that has to do with the aforementioned words. American, conservative, Christian, sane. So let me give you an idea of how pervasive Google is. So we know there's Google.com and people go there to search. Why? Because they're lazy. Or because when they buy a computer, that search engine is already installed and they just don't know the difference. There are people that are so ignorant on the internet. These are the search tools that Google owns, and they control in an insidious manner so that you only see what they want you to see or read what you want to read or hear what they want you to hear. Google Search, Google Images, YouTube, Google News, Google Finance, Google Shopping, Google Books, Google Patents, Google Scholar, Data Search, Hotel Finder, Alerts, Assistant, Custom Search, Google Flights, Groups, Translate, Google Web History. Now, those are just the searching parts. Then they have advertising services, Google Ads, marketing platform, and every one of these is prefaced with the word Google, okay? So anything that has the word Google in it is owned by Google. Ad Manager, AdMob, AdSense, AdGrants. Then they have communication and publishing tools, Google Cultural Institute, and I guarantee you it's the liberal culture. Art Project, Feedburner, 3D Warehouse, G Suite, and that suite includes Gmail, Hangouts, Calendar, Docs, Sheets, Forms, Slides, Sites, Contacts, and Groups, Google Hire, Blogger Weblog, Bookmarks, Boutiques.com, Google Business Solutions, and this is AdSense Analytics, Checkout, Local Business Center, Charts, Docs, Domains, Drive, Hangouts, let's see, more Gmail, Google, a lot of stuff. This is all Google Voice, Google Fonts, Classroom, Cloud Search. Then they have development tools, and these are the tools that that people use to create things. The App Engine, Dart, Flutter, Go, Open Social, Page Speed Tools, Web Toolkit, Search Console, Translator Toolkit, Garrett, Google Test, Bazel, Flat Buffers, American Fuzzy Loop, Guava, Clojure. Then they got security tools. You ever gone to any website and it says rCAPTCHA prevents bots from accessing websites? They show you a screen of 9 squares and 2 of them have a bicycle in it and it says click on the squares with a bicycle in it. That's Google. They use that information. Google Safe Browsing, Titan Security Key. Then, of course, the Google Maps, all of those. And the statistical tools. Whole operating systems. Android is owned by Google. Chrome, Android Auto, Android TV, Glass OS. Then they have the desktop applications. Google Toolbar. Let's see. And then there's mobile applications. Calendar, Drive, Gmail, Keep, Maps, Navigation, Mobilizer. Good Lord, there's so many of them here, it's ridiculous. And then there's what they call the mobile standalone applications. Google and Authenticator, Playbooks, Catalogs, Newsstand, Primer, Sync, Google Voice, YouTube, YouTube Remote, Waze, and then there's hardware. These are like the phones. Google driverless car, Nexus One, Nexus S, Galaxy Nexus. All the Nexus version of phones are owned by Google. Everything with the word Chrome in it is owned by Google. Then, of course, they have the services. This is the Google Cloud platform and the crisis response and Google Fiber, Google Station, Google Public DNS Ideas, Person Finder, Accelerated Mobile Pages. These are only the ones that Wikipedia knows about. There are so many other things that Google owns and controls that they don't know about and they never will know about because Google only has 51% of ownership in a company and the company doesn't want to advertise the fact that Google is controlling them. Google is one of the most evil things on earth and they have worked along with the rest of the powers that be to create the society that we now have in the United States. It's a society that's it's not going to exist too much longer because of the simple fact that it's on self-destruct. You have people who instead of doing anything productive would rather pick up their cell phone and scroll down on their Facebook page to see what any one of their pinhead friends, who they've never met and never actually communicated to, think about this new dress that somebody posted and said, is it purple or green? Or they spend their time on their computer looking on YouTube at funny videos about cats. And you see this every day at work. Any work, I don't care, including mine. You go to any business and you're going to find the people in there who prioritize in a very strange and perverted manner. Instead of getting all your work done so you can rest or take a break or screw off later, they will screw off now and wait to the last minute to do their work. So how are they screwing off? Well, they go to the bathroom for 15 minutes at a time and read their Facebook on their cell phone. Or when the man comes home from work and the woman's been home all day and he says, what's for dinner? And she goes, well, I haven't figured that out yet. He sits down to watch TV and relax a little bit. And she sits down like she's been doing most of the day and picks up her cell phone and starts looking at it and wondering, what's more important in my life? I know, funny kittens. This is why this country is going down the tubes, because and it's not just the millennials, it's everybody. It's the more that we put our attention on pretty pictures, like on the computer or television or cell phone, the more we separate from reality and the more we separate from those around us that actually care about us. The bad part about this is we know what it is. We know it's a affliction, but we don't care because we don't have to face reality. As long as we can face our smartphone, then we don't have to face our husband or our wife or our children or the fact that we don't have a job because we spend too much time looking at pictures on a cell phone. This is a trap, and we've been successfully trapped. I pity this country if we actually have to go to war. We haven't had to go to war since Vietnam. All of this crap in the kitty litter box in the Mideast has been us invading Muslim countries. There hasn't been war. War would indicate there's two sides. And in the Muslim countries, we're the invader. I got no problem having a war with Muslims or having a war with Spanish or Africans or Norwegians, for that matter. I don't care, as long as, you know, it's a war. Not this kind of crap that we've been doing, which is nothing more than what Eisenhower warned us about. He warned that there would be a meeting of the military and industrial complex, and then we would be, for the rest of our lives, at war. And this isn't war. We haven't had anybody really fighting back. We won't be at war until there are bombs going off in the United States and us being attacked. That would be a war. Instead, what we're going to do is die by attrition. Our country will go down the tubes because, well, you know, go get the movie Idiocracy. Go watch it. You'll get the idea. Anyway, that's all for now. I hope I don't know, pissed you off, woke you up, any of the above. But I had to talk about this. Now, here's the thing. I got to get around to this part, because I explained in the beginning of the show that even I'm being attacked by these trolls. And the trolls that are attacking me, and have been for many years, are from the Church of Scientology. I used to be a member of the Church of Scientology, and I left the church. Well, that makes me a danger to them, especially because I have your ear, and you listen to me. I'm on the radio. Well, this one troll, and there's different ones. There's a file on me. There's a file on every single person they're attacking. And if troll A gets a different job or quits or whatever, they just take that folder and they give it to the next troll. And that person goes and then comes in the chat room and attacks me and does all kinds of weird stuff. So it's different people. But these are all from the Church of Scientology. And if you ever watched Leah Remini's show on TV, she exposes the church. The church is not Scientology. The church is the Church of Scientology. It's a whole different ball of wax. And to make sure that the church understands what I understand about the church, I'm going to talk about that next show. Now, if any of you have questions on the Church of Scientology or Scientology, you can email me, kw@armchairsurvivalist.com. That's kw@armchairsurvivalist.com. And I will be more than happy to address your questions on the next show. So next show is going to be, the majority of it is going to be on the Church of Scientology. It's not a promotional thing. It's to let you know the realities of the church and how highly abusive and dangerous it is. And we're not talking about Scientology. Scientology is a technology. The Church of Scientology is an organization that has popped up since L. Ron Hubbard died and has subverted the concepts of Scientology. So, be that as it may. Join me next week. You keep your nose in the air and your ear to the ground and pay attention. This is the Armchair Survivalist signing off.